The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد حبيب رب العالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وألهمنا رشدنا يا رب العالمين الحمد لله. As we're continuing to look at the second collection of 40 hadith from Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani's collection on 40 hadiths, 40 sets of 40 hadiths, we stopped at hadith number 10. We covered hadith number 9? Okay, so we did hadith number 8, so we reached hadith number 9. And hadith number 9, and all of these hadiths, the underlying message in them is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His noble qualities. So hadith number 9, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم relates, يا معشر قريش اشتروا أنفسكم من الله. Gathering of Quraysh, purchase yourselves from Allah. لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا. I will not avail you in any way with Allah. I will not avail you. I will not be your sufficiency. Right? I will, before Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Right? The day when neither wealth nor offspring avail one, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except one who comes to a heart that is sound. And if the heart is sound, then other things can count for one and against one. Right? Other things count for one and against one. But they are not in themselves sufficient. Right? They are not in themselves sufficient at the level of rights. Right? There's two types of benefit that one attains on the Day of Judgment. Right? One is that which would be what you deserve. Right? What you deserve. And what is the basis of what you deserve with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة. Every soul will be burdened with what it acquired. لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. As in the closing verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, it has for it what it acquired of good and against it what it earned of ill. That is the basis. Right? That's in terms of حقوق. Whereas the Arabs had a sense that, well, the حقوق arise by lineage, by tribe, by family, by all kinds of different things. In terms of حقوق, this is, you know, you will, nothing will be sufficient. You can't just say, well, my dad was righteous, so I don't have to worry about things. No. When you stand up, you will be judged on the basis of your actions. Right? Then that's janib al-adl. Then there is the janib of rahmah, the janib of rahmah. And there are the janib of rahmah, we affirm that there is intercession. There is intercession. There's the intercession of, there's levels of intercession, as the books of Aqidah affirm. The intercession of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the general intercession, and there's at least, Ibn Abdus Salam mentions there's at least six levels of intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of resurrection. But then the Quran itself affirms other types of intercession on the day of judgment. One of the sources of loss of the people of perdition is لا تنفعهم شفاعة الشافعين. The people of loss, the intercession of those who intercede will not benefit them. Why? And that's a source of loss, because there are those who will be benefited by the intercession of those who intercede. In Ayat al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who is there to intercede with Allah except with His permission? But there are those whom Allah chooses to give permission to. And this is part of why we know that family is mercy. Good company is mercy. Good deeds are mercy. Right? Because these things intercede for one. Right? And the hadiths on shafa'ah are numerous. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ said, there'll be people in my ummah who will intercede for as many of my ummah as the flocks of Rabi' and Mudar, which are two of the tribes of the Arabs that had very vast flocks. Right? So that is affirmed. But you can't, but you need, هذا لا يغني عن العمل. This is, does not, is not sufficiency from action. So this is how we understand that. Right? It's not sufficiency. Ghina is sufficiency. Right? It is affirmed, but it is not sufficient in of itself. Right? So, O Quraysh, ishtaru anfusakum. Right? Right? Purchase yourselves. Right? Meaning, free yourselves. Right? Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'mina. Allah has purchased from the believers their souls, anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Right? Their soul, their lives and their wealth in exchange for paradise. And the metaphor befits Quraysh because they're traders. Tijaratan lan tabur, right? A trade that will never suffer loss. So texts like this, like, you know, one of the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah is balance. That we neither say that it is only your actions, which is true, it is your actions in terms of rights and responsibilities. Judgment is عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ, it's on actions. That's at the level of justice. But there also, the intercession is not a matter of rights, it's a matter of mercy. It's مَظْهَرْ مِنْ مَظَاهِرِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. It's a manifestation of divine mercy. And the actions of others do benefit us in many ways. Du'as of others benefit, even on the Day of Judgment. We know so many different types of intercession. So that's the context of this verse, right? Because amongst Quraysh, there would have been some people who say, well, if he's true, we're his tribe. Like, if he, all this stuff he's saying is true, he's from Quraysh, like, you know, tribes, you know, stand for each other, right? That his own tribe, like his own qabila, Bani Hashim, stood by him, even those who were not believers amongst them. They went to the Shi'b as well, to the valley, when they're in siege. Even though they're not believers. Why? Because he's our guy. He's our man, we'll stand with him, right? Ya Bani Abdi Manaf, ishtaru. So this is a general statement to Quraysh. Then, يا بني عبد مناف اشتروا أنفسكم من الله لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا. أو بني عبد مناف, which is a قبيلة from within Quraysh, purchase yourselves from Allah, right? Meaning free yourselves from Allah. I will not avail you. I will not be your sufficiency before Allah in any way. يا عباس ابن عبد المطلب لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. Right? Oh, Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ibn Abdul Muttalib, I will not be your sufficiency with Allah in any way. Ya Safiyyatu, Ammatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aunt of the Prophet, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ughni anki min Allahi shay'a, I will not be your sufficiency before your Lord, before Allah in any way. Ya Fatima, Ya Fatimatu bintu Muhammadin, Salini mali ma shi'ti. Said, O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask me of my wealth whatever you wish. لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا, I will not be your sufficiency with Allah in any way. And this hadith is related by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, and there's similar narrations as well. Meaning, what's the key message right here? That know the great, be aware of the great majesty of Allah and of the standing of Allah, the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the things, the Imam Zarruq mentions in his Kitab al-I'ana, I'anatul Mutawajjih al-Miskin, right? Which Sheikh Hamza translated poetically as the poor man's book of assistance. The Faqir is the poor one. It's a really cool title. Very Sheikh Hamza title. Said, there's three things that if you reflect on them will direct your heart to be heedful. One is to remember death frequently. And another is to remember one standing before Jabbar as-samawati wal-ard, the overwhelming Lord of the heavens and the earth. And we covered that last week in the Healing Hearts class, and the lesson for that will be podcast with Allah Ta'ala, last week's lesson. It's an important lesson. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And so this reminding oneself of the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is critical to having a sense of urgency, right? And from that to consider what do I do to change, right? Which is why Imam Ad-Dirdir in his Kharida, what does he say? Because hope is good, hope is wonderful, but hope alone can make one lax. Allah is generous, He's merciful. I'm a loser, but okay. So some of the scholars said, and these are different spiritual methods. Imam Dardir said in his Kharida at the end, in his spiritual counsel of how one acquires faith and brings it to fruition, he says, وَغَلِّبِ الْخَوْفَ عَلَى الرَّجَاءِ وَسِرْ إِلَى مَوْلَاكَ بِلَا تَنَاهِي. He said, make your fear preponderate over your hope, because you need to have both, hope and fear. But if one were to predominate, make your fear, and fear here is positive fear, it's awe of the divine. خَوْفْ مَنْ أَمَّا مَنْ خَفَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Right? As for the one who is in awe of the station of their Lord, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And it's positive fear that leads not to putting oneself down, but to change. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And who forbids their lower self from its capricious ways. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then paradise is their resting place. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and Ibn Ata'illah in his Hikam said that nothing takes the heart out of its heedless ways, okay, illa khawfun muz'ij aw shawqun muqliq. Nothing takes one's heart, one's self, out of its wayward ways. Well, this is the way I am, just drifting along, except one of two things. Illa khawfun muz'ij, except for fear that disturbs one. Aw shawqun muqliq, or passion, yearning, that makes one restless. Right? But the point is to rush towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Wasir ila mawlaka bila tanahi. Turn and travel to your Lord with ceaselessly. Okay? The 10th hadith عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم relates, إذا قال المؤذن الله أكبر الله أكبر فقال أحدكم الله أكبر الله أكبر. Right, so if the muezzin says الله أكبر الله أكبر, then one of then you should say الله أكبر الله أكبر. Then ثم إذا قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, then if the muezzin says أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, قال, then what, then you should, then if you say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, then ثم قال أشهد أن محمد رسول الله, then the muezzin says أشهد أن محمد رسول الله, you should say أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. ثم قال حي على الصلاة, then the muezzin says حي على الصلاة. قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, then you should say, and then if you say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, ثم قال حي على الفلاح, then when the muezzin says حي على الفلاح, قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, then if you say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, ثم قال الله أكبر الله أكبر, then if when the muezzin says الله أكبر الله أكبر, you say الله أكبر الله أكبر, ثم قال لا إله إلا الله, then when the muezzin says لا إله إلا الله, قال لا إله إلا الله من قلبه, and then to end, one says لا إله إلا الله from one's heart, دخل الجنة, one enters paradise. This is one of the number of key hadiths, and this Rahu Muslim, this hadith is related by Imam Muslim. This highlights the importance of answering the adhan, as is obvious. Right? And this is something that people are very negligent about. Adhan is given, even if they're present in a place, the adhan is given, and they continue yapping away. Unless it is important, you are neglecting the sunnah. It could be important. Right? You could be in a situation, someone comes and asks you a question. So you answer their question, right? It's an important question, right? And that's why sometimes sheikh types, teacher types get stuck. Because they finish a class, adhan's given, and people are asking them a follow-up question or this, that, because they may not have another opportunity. That's an excuse. That's something important, right? But otherwise, one adheres to the sunnah of answering the adhan. Right? Some of the ulama said answering the adhan with one's tongue is wajib, such that if one does not answer it, it is sinful, because the Prophet ﷺ made it a command. If the muezzin says this, say this. قُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا قَالَ الْمُؤَذِّنَ, as we'll mention in the other narration. So that's one thing, right? That do not neglect this sunnah of answering the adhan. And the related sunnahs related to, one answers the adhan, number two. So one answers the adhan. Then one sends blessing on the Prophet ﷺ. Then one makes a dua al-wasila. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wat al-tamma wa salat al-qaima ati muhammadin al-wasila wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudin alladhi wa'adta. Right? And then one makes dua with a comprehensive dua, because the Prophet ﷺ said, dua between the two adhans is not rejected. Right? So these are at least four sunnahs. Here, the Prophet ﷺ mentions one of the fada'il of it, which is doing so دخل الجنة. This makes one entitled to paradise, right? Why? Because what is the adhan? The adhan is a complete declaration of faith. It's a complete declaration of faith. What is the key expression in the whole thing? Min qalbihi. Good. Min qalbihi. Right? From one's heart. Right? From one's heart. That say it from your heart. Okay? That's the critical thing. So here, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that when the muezzin says, Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala al-falah, one says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is one type of narration of it. In another narration, and it's in Sahih, so this is in Muslim, another narration which is in Bukhari and elsewhere, from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ النِّدَاءَ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ. If you hear the call, which is the adhan, the nida is the call, then say what the muadhin says. Right? And this is a general expression. So how do you join between the two? A lot of the ulama say that you say everything the muadhin says, except hayya ala salah and hayya ala al-falah, where you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So one text, one is general, is mutlaq, and the other is muqayyad, is one is unconditioned and the other is conditioned. فَيَحْمِلُونَ الْمُطْلَقَ عَلَى الْمُقَيَّدِ. So they conditioned the unconditioned text by the conditioning text. So say what the muezzin says, except what the other hadith mentions when they say لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ يَعْنِ حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ. So you say لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And that's one position of many of the ulama. But others have mentioned, others have mentioned that no, لا مانع من الجمع بينهما. Nothing prevents you from saying both things. Say what the muezzin says and add to it. So you would say حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. And after saying that you would say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So you do both. So you've acted on both hadiths. And they say والعمل بالحديثين إن أمكن أولى من إهمال مقتضى أحدهما. Acting on both narrations is superior to neglecting what is being indicated by one of them. And that's the way of work. And this was suggested by Sheikh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi in his Futuhat, and Ibn Abdin quotes it. Actually, Al-Kamal ibn al-Humam mentions it, and Ibn Abdin concurs. Al-Kamal ibn mentions this reasoning, and then Ibn Abdin quotes from Sheikh Al-Akbar, Sheikh Muhyiddin, that this is also the madhab of Sheikh Muhyiddin. And the meaning would be, when you say Hayya ala salah, you repeat it to yourself. What's the intention? Is to remind yourself. You're addressing yourself because you have lazy elements within. Okay. And then you ask Allah's assistance when you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this is a fa'idah. Now, if the adhan, and adhan notifications are not the adhan. Adhan notifications are not the adhan. Right? So if you're not in a place where you hear the adhan given out, then men should remember that it remains sunnah for you to give the adhan. So you should. And unless there's some reason not to, one gives the adhan. Even if you're praying on your own at work or at home, right, men are expected to give the adhan. As for women, they don't give the adhan, but many of the mashayikh say if you're in an environment where the adhan is not given, if you just say the words to yourself, right, so that you can act on the sunnah, then Allahu la yakhibu raja'a man talaba. Allah does not let down the hope of the one who seeks him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate. Any questions there? From the heart. It's in the hadith that we just read. At the end. Are you following? Saying it from the heart. That don't just say it with the tongue. Right? Say it. Min qalbihi, meaning it with the heart. Right? Because As the poet said, it's actually a Christian poet, and some of our attitudinally divergent brethren don't like it, but he's like, you know, but it's highlighting a meaning that this is what's meant. He said something that is important. He said, إِنَّ الْكَلَامَ لَفِي الْفُؤَادِ وَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَ اللِّسَانُ لَهُ دَلِيلًا. That speech is only truly in the heart, and the tongue is simply an interpreter that indicates what's in the heart. And that's really the key to presence of heart in general. That mean it before you say it. Don't say it till you mean it. The mistake we make, we say it, we say La ilaha illallah, then you say, okay, that meant this. But then you're saying the next thing. They say that the pause of the Prophet ﷺ in his recitation, for example, was not that he said Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, then he paused and thought about it. The pause was لِاسْتِجْمَعْ مَعَانِي مَا سَيَنْطِقُ بِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was to gather the meanings of what he's saying next. Because there's a pause of reflection, there's a pause of gathering to be deliberate in what you say. Right? If Zubaydah were demanding and Zubayr told her, honey, I love you. And then he started thinking, said, you know, I do, really. If I was Zubaydah, I'd give him a big slap. What kind of lover are you? You say things that you don't mean, right? So that's hadith number 10. How does it have to do anything with being selfish in one's practice? Selfish? What do you mean by selfish?
Just to think about oneself, about what will happen to...
No, I mean, كُلٌّ يَأْتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Everyone will come to Allah alone. Right? But when you stand alone, the حقوق الناس مقدمة حتى على حقوق الله. The rights of people are given precedence over the rights of Allah. What is bankruptcy on the Day of Judgment? Is wronging other people. أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who's the bankrupt person? So it's not selfishness. You have to be concerned first about yourself. But you have to, الدِّينُ النَّصِيحَة, religion is nasiha for everything and everyone. لا يؤمن أحدكم, none of you believes until they wish for others what they wish for themselves. So selfishness is not what is being talked about. What is being talked about is be concerned for your state with Allah, because nothing else will avail you if you don't avail yourself of that. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى العافية. Tomorrow we will be looking at an important hadith, right, of the hearts of the believers being between two fingers of the fingers of the All-Merciful, and what's meant by the Asabi' al-Rahman, the fingers of the All-Merciful literally, and we'll be looking at some classical commentary on that. And we'll also look at the importance of having a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hadiths on the vastness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine mercy. So that's where we'll continue. From next class, we'll be looking next, inshallah, at some of the adab of seeking knowledge from Imam Zarnuji's work, Ta'limul Muta'allim, instructing the student on the ways of learning. But I think there's one more question. Find them out. And the so we're at the end in Imam Zarnuji's work on the adab of seeking knowledge. We've been looking at the importance of intention in seeking knowledge, right? To make an encompassing intention of seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to consider how one seeks the pleasure of Allah, right? By benefiting oneself and how one will benefit others. But if you're seeking the pleasure of Allah, then your pursuit of knowledge must be in a way that is pleasing to Allah and not in a way that is displeasing Allah. So do not pursue it for worldly gain, nor for fame, nor for prestige, etc. Right? And this is very critical. It's like, sadly, you know, it's like there's one student of knowledge and who, you know, is asking all these questions about what should I study next. And people ask questions, but they're not really serious about listening to the answer. So I asked, so what have you studied? Said, alhamdulillah, did mantiq with so-and-so, did this with this person, did that with that person, alhamdulillah, attended so-and-so's durus. So I just asked, say, this student mentioned mantiq first, it's logic. So I said, what is the relationship between words and meanings? I said, oh, there's many different types of relationships between words and meanings. I said, in mantiq, in logic. That's the first thing that's mentioned in the text that he said he'd studied. He didn't know the first thing in the text. Like someone say, I study the Ajumiyya, I say, what is kalam? I'm not sure. Okay. So you didn't, forget, you studied it, you didn't even get the first sentence. So I was saying that, you know, the basis of knowledge is that if you study something, so what counts in knowledge is al-ilmu ma baqi, la ma ukhidh. Knowledge is what remains with you, not what you took. So he said, but do you really need it? Because once you get on the lecture circuit, like all, it's all set. You know, said it doesn't take that much to give a public talk and this and that. Khutbahs, you just, you know, inspire and entertain, and people will be happy. Okay? But that's not the purpose, right? That's not the purpose. Right? And people get into harmful habits, whether it be with respect to what they're conveying to people, or how they conduct themselves, or what they are pursuing by whatever they do. Why? What's the basis? Aslu zayh, fuqdanu niyya. The basis of misguidance is loss of intent. Okay, the basis of veering from the trodden path is loss of intention. Right? Okay. Right. And that's, and especially in our times, most people aren't actually following anybody. Right? They're self-directed. Right? They'll do what they feel like doing. But that's, you know, that's where things are at. So they'll consult, but it's sort of more in a token way, like. So, and then part of being pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to embrace the quality of tawadu', of humility. But Imam Zarnuji, as what we look at today, there's a balance in humility. Like he said, humility is a state of balance, right? Because the reality of humility is that the state of humility is from you having humbled yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the greatness of Allah. Humility is a state of Ahl al-Tawheed, right? Of people who are realized in Tawheed, right? A state of those who make much mention of La ilaha illallah with realization. There's none free of need of any other, whom all are absolutely in need of except Allah. Who are you? In absolute need of Allah. Do you possess anything? No. Whatever you have it dependent upon Allah in gaining it and in retaining it. So then, what's the big deal? And what's the big deal? So why do we respect others if they too are needy? Right? Because if you're, let's say, if you're a completely needy servant of Allah, why should I be respectful of you? لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever venerates the symbols of Allah, and the people of knowledge are from the symbols of Allah. Believers are from the symbols of Allah. Because these, Allah created the whole, all of existence is created for those who have choice to exercise that subtle reality. Right? That is choice. That's a trust. Right? It's an amana. The heavens and the earth and the mountains refuse to take on this trust. That is the choice. But, you know, humans and jinn took it on. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ The human took it on. And we're ignorant. Right? So the human being is honored. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ So we respect and honor and care and consider لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى Because otherwise nothing matters but Allah. But everything else, it matters out of our concern for Allah. So that's where humility arises for us. Humility is not I humble myself to you. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Right? But rather, the one who acts with humility is because they've humbled themselves before Allah. Right? And that's why it's not a state of abasing oneself. Right? So humility goes with self-respect. And that's what he talks about next. But the ulama were careful to do things that would cause them to be humble. Right? And the instruction to the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also as a reminder to those who seek to walk in the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? That wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal 'ashiyyi yuriduna wajha. That from the ways of cultivating humility is one of the key ways commanded to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. Keep yourself patient with those who call upon their Lord by night and by day, seeking His countenance thereby. And the direct context of revelation is instructive. Ahl-Suffa were difficult to deal with. They were in dire poverty. They smelt bad. Many of them were from outside tribes. They were coarse in their character. Some of the people of Medina who decided to dedicate themselves immediately. The Prophet ﷺ came, they'd been waiting for several years for him to come. And they're so rejoiced as given their turmoils before. I mean, they just suffered a major civil war. You know, the Harb al-Bu'ath between the Aus and the Khazraj, etc. So they decided to dedicate themselves totally. And even the people of Medina were difficult for the Quraysh, particularly the Prophet ﷺ. Their character was very coarse. They're like farmers, and these are like very refined. Be patient with them. Why? Because you're not keeping their company because they're nice. You're keeping their company because of Allah. Right? And that's part of humbling oneself. They may not be as sophisticated as you. They may not be hipsters or fashionistas or whatever things you're interested in. But they're interested in Allah. Yuriduna wajha. They want Allah. And that's, you know, that's one of the aspects of humility. Who are the people who want Allah? Be with them, regardless of how they are. Okay. And the sunnah is that Allah will make that company difficult. Data Ganj Baksh, Sayyidi Ali al-Hujwiri mentioned that once he was traveling, and on the journey he stopped at a zawiya, and he stayed overnight there, and the people staying at the zawiya, the murids there, they were just staying up, chatting with each other. Poor guy, he'd been traveling, he's trying to sleep. All night, they were throwing watermelon rinds, because they're sitting, socializing, and all of them were falling in his direction. Because they're so engrossed in their socializing, they ignored him and the fact that poor guy was trying to sleep. Right? But he said he learned many lessons from that. Because why do you stay there rather than somewhere else? Not because it's comfortable, because you could probably find in the Muslim land they had these, you know, what they call caravanserais, resting place for for caravans and these hotels. But you seek to stay at a zawiya. Why? Not because of the comfort, because wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum. Keep yourself patient with those who call upon their Lord. regardless of how they are in other ways. بالغداة, they call upon their Lord by day and night. يريدون وجهه. They're seeking Allah. They may have many other faults, but that's what they're seeking, so be with them regardless of how they are. That's one key to humility. Another is service is a key to humility. And many of the great imams served in amazing ways. The Tafsir al-Jalalain was written by two Jalals. Jalal al-Din al-Mahalli began it. But very interestingly, where did he begin it from? Right. He began it from an unusual place. Imam al-Mahalli wrote half of it and he passed away. And Imam al-Suyuti completed it exactly the same way. So Jalal al-Din al-Mahalli and Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti, who completed it, yeah, generations later, together. It's called Tafsir al-Jalalain, the Tafsir of the two Jalals. Imam al-Sha'rani, in his work, At-Tabaqat al-Sughra, he has a collection of biographies of the righteous called At-Tabaqat al-Kubra. But then he wrote, the great righteous of Islamic history, he wrote a book called At-Tabaqat al-Sughra, the lesser collection of biographies of the notables. Especially if you're Shafi'i, you should definitely get it, because, and it's of the people of his time that he met, that he considered to be of the righteous servants of Allah. And I believe it's there. He mentions about Imam Jalal al-Din al-Mahalli, either there or somewhere else. But he mentions regarding him that, so this is Imam Sha'rani mentioning it, that Imam al-Mahalli was this great scholar. And he's one of the scholars who wrote, he wrote one of the four great commentaries, one of the five great commentaries on the Minhaj of Imam al-Nawawi, which is sort of the reference for fatwa in the Shafi'i school. And great imam of Usul al-Fiqh as well, and many sciences. Imam al-Mahalli, despite being this great scholar and reference for fatwa and knowledge, and he had a weekly routine that he used to go to all the elderly ladies in his neighborhood and he used to take their shopping lists himself, dressed in normal clothes, and used to go and buy their groceries for them and deliver them one by one to their doorstep. And all ladies tend to be grumpy, so they used to get very upset with him. So what's wrong with you? I asked for this kind of oil. And he used to have it in writing, exactly what they'd requested, right? And even if he delivered what they'd asked for, but if they complained, he would apologize, like with total humility, and go back and bring them what they were now asking for, even though he knew that they weren't correct, right? And sometimes some of his students found out that this is what he's up to, so they tried to say, let me do it. And they didn't. And the ulama say, everyone should strive to have some service that one does that no one finds out about. Right? Nasallahu al-afiyah. But with that, it's very important for the person of knowledge to know that what are you doing? You are an ambassador. Sheikh Muhammad Qailish put it really beautifully when you're studying the Sharh of the 40 Nawawi. He said, they used to say that every person of knowledge, whether a scholar or a student of knowledge, is an ambassador of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, in our times, particularly in the West, but not only, every religious believer should see that they are an ambassador of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and conduct themselves accordingly. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala preserve him. So that entails a certain, you're carrying oneself with a certain self-respect, right? Which is what Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Zarnuji talks about next, quoting Imam Abu Hanifa. So he says, قَالَ أَبُو حَنِيفَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِأَصْحَابِهِ. Abu Hanifa said to his companions, عَظِّمُوا عَمَائِمَكُمْ وَوَسِّعُوا أَكْمَامَكُمْ. Abu Hanifa told his companions, his students who were scholars, make your turbans larger than others. Right? Make your turbans larger than others. And make your sleeves wider than others. Why? so that you're looked up to and respected. Because you are representatives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And in the footnote to the text, one of the commentators on Imam Zarnuji's work says, and this applies to the scholars, but also happens to a student of knowledge. That a student of knowledge should appear in a way that would cause people to respect and look up to knowledge and its pursuit. Right? But with sincere intention. With sincere intention. How does one do that? One should consult. It's one of the things to consult. How should I dress? How should I dress in a manner befitting a student of knowledge? And there's, of course, different contexts related to that. وَإِنَّمَا قَالَ ذَلِكَ لِأَلَّا يُسْتَخَفَّ بِالْعِلْمِ وَأَهْلِهِ. And he only said this so that people don't look down upon knowledge and its people. And this is why you see the major ulama, they're always impeccably dressed. They dress, and that's why, and these are from the sunnahs of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ used to travel, leave home with a comb and a mirror, right? And he used to take care of his appearance because of, but one has to be careful to do so with balance, without excessive concern about one's appearance, right? But and to make an intention in it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And the question about one's appearance is what, would be pleasing to Allah, and it should be. It should be an outward manifestation of the inward reality of the khayrul libas is libas of taqwa. The best of clothing is the clothing of taqwa. And if that clothes your heart, then the outward clothing should reflect the standards of taqwa as well. Right? But in a manner that takes care. This is part of what's called mudara, acting in a considerate manner, in a discreet manner. Which is doing the right thing in a manner that takes into account people and circumstances. But without leaving what is right. Without leaving what is right. Then he continues, says, وَيَنْبَغِ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَحْصُلَ عَلَى كِتَابِ الْوَصِيَّةِ الَّتِي كَتَبَهَا أَبُو حَنِيفَةَ لِيُونُسَ بْنِ خَالِدِ السَّمْتِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عِنْدَ الرُّجُوعِ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ. And a student of knowledge should acquire the treatise in counsel that Abu Hanifa wrote to his student, Yunus ibn Khalid al-Samti, rahimahullah, when, upon completion of his studies with Abu Hanifa, he is returning to his people. يَجِدُهُ مَنْ يَطْلُبُهُ. And whoever seeks it will find it. And he gave him advice on how the seeker of knowledge should conduct oneself. And we will cover that, inshallah, once we complete this text. وَقَدْ كَانَ أُسْتَاذُنَا شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ بُرْهَانُ الدِّينِ برهان الأئمة علي بن أبي بكر قدس الله روحه العزيز أمرني بكتابته عند الرجوع إلى بلدي وكتبته. And he says, the author, Imam Zarnuji says that his teacher, برهان الأئمة علي بن أبي بكر, may Allah sanctify his soul, said he had commanded Imam Zarnuji to write it out when I was returning to my land. And he says, and I did so. ولا بد للمدرس والمفتي في معاملة الناس منه. And said, and it is absolutely necessary for the student and the mufti in dealing with people to have this, right? To have this. Right. And then the next section, which we'll continue by looking at next, is on choosing the knowledge and the teacher and the companion and والثبات and remaining firm on that. Because every path has its tests, right? Every path has its test. Right? They say, لَبُدَّ كَمَا أَنَّهُ لَبُدَّ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ سَحَابِ وَلَبُدَّ لِلْحَسْنَاءِ مِنْ نِقَابِ فَكَذَلِكَ لَبُدَّ لِلطَّرِيقِ مِنْ عَقَبَاتِ. Right? Like just as the sun needs clouds. And that's just the nature of life. Then Any path must have obstacles, right? And they say, "Man thabata nabat," right? Whoever remains firm acquires, right? Whoever remains firm acquires. So we look at the principles of remaining firm, and that's one of the many lessons in the story of Musa and Khadir alayhim as-salam. إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعْيَ صَبْرًا. You will not be able to be patient with me. Right? And of course, that's a unique case, but the lessons of that are general. That one will be tested. And one will be tested in different ways. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ said, الصَّبْرُ ضِيَاء. Patience is radiant illumination. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الثَّبَاتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
Thank you for listening to the Rauha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.